At the end of our last reading, we mentioned that decisions about Europe weren't just made on battlefields. They were also made in corporate boardrooms. Here's a troubling truth that many history books leave out. Before World War II began, some of America's biggest and most famous companies were doing business with Nazi Germany and helping Hitler build up his military power. I regard Henry Ford as my inspiration, Adolf Hitler told a Detroit newspaper reporter in 1931, 2 years before becoming Germany's leader. In Hitler's office in Munich, right next to his desk, hung a large portrait of an American, Henry Ford, the founder of the Ford Motor Company. Why would the future Nazi dictator admire an American car maker so much? Ford had published a newspaper called the Dearborn Independent that printed 90 articles attacking Jewish people in the 1920s. These hateful writings spread lies and conspiracy theories about Jewish people. The articles were collected into a pamphlet called The International Jew, which was translated into German and helped inspire Hitler's own hateful book, Mein Kampf. In that book, Hitler praised Ford directly, writing that Ford was the one man who had full independence from what Hitler falsely claimed was Jewish control of American business. In July 1938, 4 months after Germany invaded and took over Austria, Hitler awarded Ford the Grand Cross of the German Eagle. This was the highest medal Nazi Germany could give to a foreigner. Two Nazi diplomats traveled to America to pin the medal on Ford's chest and deliver a personal message of congratulations from Hitler himself. Ford and General Motors weren't just friendly with the Nazis, they were building things that helped Germany prepare for war. By 1939, these two American companies controlled 70% of the German car market through their German factories. General Motors owned a German company called Opel. In 1935, GM agreed to build a new factory near Berlin to produce a truck called the Blitz, which means lightning in German. These Blitz trucks would later be used by the German army in their lightning-fast attacks called Blitzkrieg against Poland, France, and the Soviet Union. Ford's German factory, called Ford Werke, was the second largest producer of trucks for the German army, according to U.S. Army reports. Here's something strange that American soldiers discovered when they invaded Europe on D-Day in June 1944. The German army trucks they were fighting against had been built by the same American car companies that built the Jeeps and trucks they were driving. As one researcher noted, when you think of Ford, you think of baseball and apple pie. You don't think of Hitler having a portrait of Henry Ford on his office wall in Munich. Perhaps the most disturbing story involves IBM, the company that made early computing machines. Before modern computers existed, people used punch cards, stiff paper cards with holes punched in them to store information. IBM's machines could read these cards and count huge amounts of data very quickly. When Hitler took power in Germany in 1933, he wanted to find out exactly how many Jewish people lived in Germany and where they were. The Nazis needed to identify, track, and eventually persecute millions of people. This was an enormous task, and IBM helped them do it. IBM's German company worked closely with the Nazi government to conduct special censuses that tracked not just people's religion, but their bloodline going back generations. The company's president, Thomas Watson, personally visited Germany to inspect the work. IBM designed custom systems that helped the Nazis organize information about the people they wanted to persecute. According to investigative journalist Edwin Black, who wrote a book called IBM and the Holocaust, most people do not understand that the Auschwitz tattoo began as an IBM number. The numbers tattooed on prisoners' arms in concentration camps corresponded to IBM punch card numbers. Nearly every Nazi concentration camp operated a special department called the Hollerith Abteilung that used IBM machines to track prisoners. The IBM system even had codes for how prisoners died. F6 meant death by gas chamber. Standard Oil, owned by the wealthy Rockefeller family, also did business with Nazi Germany. Tanks, trucks, and airplanes all need fuel to run. Germany didn't have much oil of its own, so it needed help. Standard Oil worked with a German chemical company called IG Farben to produce gasoline and other fuels from coal. A judge at the Nuremberg trials after the war said that this ability to make fuel made it possible for the Reich to carry on the war independently of foreign supplies. Standard Oil also helped provide tetraethyl lead, a substance that made airplane engines run faster and more powerfully. This helped German fighter planes perform better in combat. And Standard Oil shared technology for making synthetic rubber, something Germany desperately needed since it had no natural rubber of its own. Why would American business leaders help Nazi Germany? The answer is complicated, but it comes down to money and politics. Many American business owners wanted to make profits, and Germany was a large, growing market. Before the war started, it wasn't illegal for American companies to do business with Germany. The two countries had normal relations until December 1941. Some American business leaders also shared some of Hitler's beliefs. They liked that Hitler had shut down labor unions in Germany and thrown communists and socialists into prison. These businessmen wanted to stop workers in America from organizing unions too. One General Motors executive, William Knudsen, even called Nazi Germany the miracle of the 20th century. When the war ended, American soldiers discovered the full truth about what German factories, including those owned by American companies, had been doing. These factories had used forced labor from concentration camps. Prisoners were worked until they were too exhausted to continue, then killed. What happened to the American companies? Not much. After the war, General Motors actually collected $33 million war reparations payments from the U.S. government because Allied bombing had damaged its German factories, the same factories that had been making weapons for Hitler. Ford asked for $7 million in compensation for bombing damage to its German factories. The company received $1.1 million. Even though a government official pointed out an uncomfortable fact, most of the products destroyed in those bombings had been made for the Nazi military. This history is uncomfortable, but it's important to understand. War is not just about soldiers fighting on battlefields. It's also about the companies that make weapons, the banks that move money, and the business decisions that shape what's possible. Some of the same American companies that called themselves the arsenal of democracy for building weapons to defeat Hitler had also, just a few years earlier, been helping Hitler build up his military power. As one historian wrote, the question is whether these companies were unwittingly part of the arsenal of fascism too. Understanding this helps us see that good and bad don't always divide neatly into different countries or different sides of a war. Sometimes the same people and companies do both helpful and harmful things. Being a wise reader of history means being willing to see these complicated truths. While these businessmen were making deals in their offices, other people were quietly doing the dangerous work that would actually help defeat the Nazis, not through money or machines, but through courage, intelligence, and sacrifice.